Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast maiden is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And today we have my lovely friend Belinda, a shiatsu practitioner and
meditation teacher.
Meditation teacher.
That was a lot for Mandy to remember.
Sorry, no, I didn't write it down. Keep that in. That's funny.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right. This is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Kate.
Hello, Mandy.
Yes, how are you?
I'm very well. We're coming to you from a more overcast Melbourne.
Yep, rain.
We're happy to have a little bit of rain for the gardens. Everything, my mum, because I grew up in the Yarra Valley, bushfires, and mum loves gardening.
Yep.
I will always inevitably get the phone call in February, March. It's browned off. Have you noticed everything's browned off?
My hydrangeas is brown.
Yeah. So everything has browned off. Yeah, for those of you who would like to know what weed mum is doing.
Weed.
She's worried about everything browning.
Oh, dear. So it's definitely browned off.
Yeah.
And hydrangeas are very unforgiving. You don't water them once. They're burnt, they're gone.
I know.
And they wilt so sadly.
My neighbour said to me, "Mandy, hydrangea, hydrate."
Oh.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, you got to water them a lot.
I've told this story before. When I get Alzheimer's, this is going to be one of the stories that I tell all the time. But when I used to go to church, all the church ladies would do the flowers. So you'd have to – it was quite expensive.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had heaps of hydrangeas and heaps of arum lilies. So, of course, I'd get the phone call. Yeah. And there was this one woman at church who was a bit of a hyacinth bouquet.
Yeah.
And she said to me, "Kate, are the hydrangeas out?" And they will forever be hydrangea to me. Anyway.
Yeah, or might have browned out.
Yes.
Poor buggers. Well, let's say hello to our guest today. Would you like to say hello and introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be on. I've listened to you quite a bit and I was like, oh, when you asked, I was like, oh, yes.
Good.
Happy to do that. So I am a mum of two, used to have a corporate life. Used to have a corporate life and then found my way into natural therapies and meditation. And my God, has it saved me a number of times.
Through
the unexpected journey of life, as we all know. It doesn't quite go the way we plan.
I think the thing with adulting is it just doesn't stop. And I know that sounds, but you know when you're a kid, you're like, oh, I hate my maths teacher, but it ends at the end of year 10, or this uni lecturer is giving me the shits, I'm going to change to a different time. But the whole adulting.
And you say much more as a kid. Oh, I'd be able to do that easy.
Oh, now I know nothing. And I can't stop adulting.
And there's a beautiful moment in that surrender when you've got all that fight and you think you know, and you're trying to fix, and then you're so stressed out and you've tried everything and you know nothing, and you surrender, and that's when the most beautiful moment happens, isn't it?
My psychologist said to me the other day, I think you're starting to hit radical acceptance.
Ooh. I've heard that statement before.
I like radical acceptance.
Radical acceptance.
Tara
Brach speaks a lot on that. And there's a real serenity and peacefulness.
Yeah.
Oh, is that all I have to do? Yeah. Oh, I just let go and accept. Sounds simple.
The radical acceptance probably gone tomorrow.
But anyway, we'll take it. Let's ask Let's Linda hear about our questions.
Yes. Okay. So our first question is, do you have a song or a band or music that like pumps you up or sort of lifts you up?
Oh, I was really thinking about this actually. I've got a couple. Am I allowed to have more than two? So the one that sort of gives me a little bit of strength is Brave by Sarah Brails. I'm sorry if I've said that wrong.
Yeah, I know.
Really beautiful heartfelt song. And then there's also Bubbly by Colby Calais.
Oh, I don't know Bubbly.
No.
It's all acoustic. And it's just a light one. If you're sort of trying to get a bit uplifted but you really don't have the energy for it, it just starts light.
That's my life.
And then before you know it, you start then you just feel a little bit lighter. More recently it's Little Boo Thing. I don't know the guy who sings that.
I don't know.
I know what
Paul,
you mean.
Paul Russell. It's on the latest one. That always gets me happy.
You would know it.
I would know. It's on the radio, you mean?
On
The old wireless.
Yes. Wireless.
Thank you. We will put them in our Spotify and Elise will do that.
Yep.
And people can find those songs. So that'll be beautiful.
The one that always is a tearjerker for me, if I'm just, you know how you get that strength and you manage to push the tears down, but when you've got a moment to release them, you can't. This one always gets me. It's Imagine the Sunrise by Guy Sebastian.
Oh, I love Guy, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
That takes me way back to the hospital days. I really relate to the lyrics.
Tell us, did you win any awards at school?
Do you know, I had to go back and think because I remember getting something, but I actually pulled out my VCE student profile with me at the start of the year. And I went, right at the bottom of this, it's got all this lovely stuff it's saying about me. Most of it I don't remember. I'm pretty sure I wasn't on the SRC, but apparently according to this I am. And it says, at the end of the year, I was presented with an Excellence and Personal Development Award in Technology. Zero recollection of that.
Wow. In technology.
Gosh.
What year did you finish school?
All I did was IT.
What year did you finish school?
Year 12.
No, I know, sorry.
Sorry. 93.
Okay, well, technology was becoming
booming.
It was a big thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, you had to go learn computers because that was the way forward. And, now I know nothing.
For those of you listening, we had whole computer labs. It was a room full of computers. Yep. No, there was no computers in the classroom.
No.
You went to computer studies.
Yeah. Yeah,
and before that, you went to typing. You still had the old typewriters learning QWERTY, and your little finger would keep getting stuck in between.
Put
the tape in.
I learned typing, and I remember my typing teacher telling me this, and I've said it before. Listen, computers are coming, but nothing will replace the typewriter.
Right.
Okay, Mrs. Kodak.
Her name was Joy Hawk.
Oh,
because I remember
Mrs. Hawk. Ms. Hawk.
Hawk to me wasn't a joyful bird, but then joy. Anyway, this is where my mind was going while she was talking about typing. Yeah. Well, your name's a bit.
Mine used to play golf down the middle of the aisle while we were typing. She just hit golf balls down. I forget her name. Anyway, let's get back to it.
And our most important question, why are you a P?
Oh, yeah, the whole reason we're here today.
Yes. I'm happy to see you, though.
I'm a P because I have a daughter with type 1 diabetes, mm-hmm. which is one of those unseen sort of disabilities.
Yes.
Yeah. And we have a diabetes, type 1 diabetes story in our two-piece booklet.
Yeah.
Because it's actually hugely life-changing.
Yeah.
And Em got was diagnosed with it the day after her fourth birthday. So we're coming up. We're coming up to our 13th anniversary.
Yeah, massive.
That day, actually.
Yeah, Saturday.
Yeah.
Wow.
So always the anniversary is around her birthday.
Yeah,
that's rough.
Wow.
Yeah, so one minute you go, and then she's like,
fair. So we met at primary school, and was a time where I was just like searching out anybody that had a different story. So we spent a lot of time in the playground chatting, and even though our stories are wildly different, hey? Yeah. So can you tell us?
But we get each other.
Yeah. Can you tell us about that diagnosis time and what was it like in the lead up?
It's a little bit of an unbelievable story. I get a few people scoffing, but this is really where I think meditation actually started holding me.
Right.
So I was literally in a it was literally in a session where I was meditating. I found meditation because I was so stressed out in my corporate life. I couldn't sleep and whatnot. So it was really helping me. And I remember this word just sort of bubbling up and floating off. I didn't take much notice. But what it did do, because no one in my family has diabetes, I didn't know anything about it. What it did do was help me to notice how much Mia was drinking. And in the afternoon go in the toilet. And I'm like, oh, maybe it's just because, you know, she's drinking more in the afternoon. Yeah. And then I started to ask mother's group friends, I went, do you reckon she drinks a lot?
That's a hot time of year.
Yeah.
And it's they're like, nah. And I'm like, okay. But, like, I wouldn't have noticed, I think, unless that very, very subtle thing had happened. Anyway, it progressed really quickly, sort of over 2 weeks. And, you know, and would often get up, or no, actually she wouldn't get up at night at all. And what was happening was she was starting to get up maybe 6 times a night. She was still half asleep to go to the toilet and then wetting the bed again. And I just went, this isn't right. So that happened like within, you know, 4 days.
Yes.
Wow.
The wedding started. I'm like, oh, no, now I'll just, she might have a urinary tract infection.
Yeah, and four, that can come and go.
So, of course, it was Labor Day weekend. Our doctors weren't open, so we went to one of those big bulk billing clinics.
Soulless.
And I swear to you, the doctor didn't even sit down when she went, oh, that's, yeah, that's a urinary tract infection.
They didn't even do a dipstick.
No.
That is so negligent.
And I sort of said, and again, I don't know why, but I just went, do you think it could be? And she completely cut me off. So we went off to the zoo to celebrate the birthday and we're feeding cake and chocolate and lollies and whatnot. Anyway, I was giving the antibiotics and, of course, nothing was changing.
No, of course not.
So when my doctor, my GP, reopened, I had a little 18-month-old boy as well and I sort of took him in because I knew they'd get him straight in and everybody would pile in. It can be a little difficult to get into. So we did that. He'd had a bit of a cough and whatnot. So we went in and I took a little bottle of urine. I said, oh, look, could you just, while we're talking about him, could you just sort of test this? And pretty much the world changed in that moment. The minute he put the dipstick in, it went black, which means copious amounts of sugar.
Wow.
And he's like, is this for him? And I said, oh, no, I'm being a bit cheeky. It's for my daughter. He's like, where is she? Get her here now.
Oh, gosh.
And it's just that brick wall. You know that moment?
Yes.
It's just like that brick wall just falls on you.
Because you knew but you don't know. Yeah. And then you really do know.
Yeah, there's no going back.
Yeah, exactly. So we were sent off to he told me to just quickly pack something and go off to the Royal Children's and sort of driving down the freeway, trying to explain, be calm and say, oh, we're just going to see Dr. So-and-so's friend. And all I'm thinking is daily injections.
Yes.
Daily injections, you know, that's all on you.
Yes. Yeah. Of course. And that is a, of course, diabetes is so much more than the daily injections. But as a mum with a little child.
Yeah, it's very intimidating.
That's what we think about.
Yeah, and thanks for recognising that, Kate, because I think at the at that moment all I could take in was daily injections.
Yes.
But, and this is going to make me cry now, sorry, as you go through life you see how much more it impacts.
Yes.
And how many layers.
Yes.
How
it affects them. Yeah.
And Mandy, you would know too, well, you'd both know, you know, even something like taking a test, exams.
Yeah.
Because what people don't know is how your cognitive ability changes.
Yes, of course.
Low or high, you can't concentrate, you can't take information in.
Yeah.
So then, you know, if you're asked to perform, the anxiety of trying to keep your sugar steady, when stress affects it, weather
affects it.
It's changing weather really affects your body. Like it takes 24 hours for it to catch up and equalize again.
Yeah. I don't think people, I have my niece, my beautiful, beautiful niece has type 1 diabetes and a very, very good friend of mine's daughter. And I went through the whole thing beside them, not with them, but I had no idea, and I did 2.5 years of nursing. I had no idea. I just heard the rhetoric and I thought, oh, well, if you eat well.
Yeah.
And that is just the biggest load of bullshit. You cannot, your body just decides, oh, no, I'm not going to, the pancreas, no, no. And then you think you've done everything right and all of a sudden you're hypo or hyper and boom. I just had no concept of how tricky it is until I've had it in my home. No idea.
When she was 4, was she at kinder?
I think we'd only started kinder a week.
Of course.
Yes.
So what did that mean? Was she hospitalised or?
Yeah, so we're in hospital for a week. I handed my baby over to my mother-in-law, bless her.
Oh, 8 months,
And even that, like we're talking about that the other day, I was able to talk with him, who he's now 14, but the stuff that he was bringing up was really, again, heartbreaking to me because he had a completely different perception of what was going on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we were so blessed. You know how you have the right people around you at the right time?
Yep.
We were so, so blessed in that we one of the kinder assistants was a type 1 diabetic.
Wow.
And the fantastic.
Gives me goosebumps. That just would have meant everything.
Everything. And the kinder teacher, so dedicated. She took herself off. She booked herself into the Royal Children's and had another education session with them for us. Mm. And it was so, so tricky, you know. I mean, until they're out of puberty.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, like the stock market, up, down, up, down, up, down.
Yeah.
But she would remain talking even at a – so your normal blood sugar is between 3.5 and 7.5. Mm. Down the 3.5, you start getting what M calls jittery.
Yeah.
You get that – might feel like butterflies but uncomfortable all over you. But one day she was sitting there on the mat, like such a good girl, and she was 1.9 talking to the teacher and the other – and the assistant was like, oh, my God, I'd be in an ambulance at 1.9. Oh,
yeah.
So you just couldn't tell.
No.
You couldn't tell. And to try and teach her to ask for food when she's naturally quite quiet.
Yes.
Doesn't want Yeah. And she couldn't pick up the signs herself for ages.
No, of course not. No.
Yeah. So I really had angels around me in those early days at kinder. Absolutely. Yeah.
Must have been very scary letting her go.
You know, I don't think I cognitively felt that.
Okay.
I guess I was like in action mode and educating.
Yes.
Had the right food and all the rest. And I felt very, very much relaxed in the fact that there was someone else in the room who really understood it.
Yep.
My first experience of that feeling was touring primary schools, to be honest.
Yeah.
And the Teflon nature in some of the orientations, and again, I didn't pick up in myself what was wrong with me. It was someone else said, you don't feel safe to leave her. Like, I was going on, I was like, all of a sudden I was shopping for myself and I was doing, I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And I was trying to get away from that feeling anxiety, because something of where I said I was going to send her, it was terrible, the orientation. Yeah. Nobody, I couldn't hand over to anyone. When I did, they really didn't care.
Mm.
And I had this little four-year-old.
Yes. She's
been a March baby. She's a bit younger than I am. Yeah.
Your most trying to
struggle
person.
With a bag.
Yeah.
No one helping her. Wow. And I just looked across the quadrangle and I could see she was low.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And then when I tried to speak about it, they were like, oh, in a year's time, you'll have more experience with the disease and you'll be able to handle it better.
Righto.
I'm sorry, yeah. I think we might look somewhere else. Yeah. I'm not,
but that's huge too, because you've just started prep, right?
Yeah, and this is actually before she started.
This was right. When doing orientation. Yeah. You're like, I can't come here.
Yeah.
Everyone else has already chosen. And a lot of schools are zoned, you know, like you sort of got to be living close to them.
Yeah, ours wasn't at the time.
Yeah, lucky.
No, we had the holes in the side of the buildings and whatnot.
Lucky, so lucky. You had terrible toilets.
It was falling to bits.
Yeah.
It was, and they had the best team.
Oh, no. It had a heart. You know? That's why I loved it too.
I had the principal stop all the orientation because it was a big intake. It was two prep classes.
Yeah, because ours was a prep and a half. Because Sam is a year, he's a year younger than my girls. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And the principal stopped everyone and said, okay, I'll look after the kids. Teachers, you need to listen to Em's mum.
Oh,
and I was like, awesome. And she just wanted to go back. So we took her lead and she felt safe there. And it was, it was really good. Yeah. We were very lucky.
Yeah. Great.
It's a lot choosing a school.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
What about how did she manage, like, the other question is, a lot of people when they start school, they're like, do I tell the parents? Do I write a letter? I let her explain it? How did you go about, like, with friends asking, how was, my girls had AFOs, so I wrote a letter saying this is what they're wearing because it's an invisible thing.
Yeah.
How did you handle that?
I felt like I was another person in the room, to be honest. I had, and again, if it wasn't for our brilliant prep teacher who advocated for me, because we also went through that year, we transitioned her from injections because she was going to have to start having an injection at school.
Yes.
And just during the whole diagnosis process and afterwards, Em has developed a really terrible needle phobia.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, fair.
So we transitioned to an insulin pump.
Yep,
right.
Which, again, is, it's fantastic technology and a little bit more freedom.
Yeah.
And the hospital fought me on that because and was in prep, and so it was too much to ask of the teacher. So our teacher advocated and was quite happy to support that. And I often was in the class too. Yeah. So I think I don't recall writing a letter. What we did do was introduce diabetes to the school because she was the only person.
Yes.
This, This is the other thing, isn't it? The sort of isolation.
Yeah, the first people. Yeah.
Yeah, so we were the only person in the school with it, and so we started Jelly Bean Days.
Yes.
So I think that's probably how we really introduced it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think at my kids' school if we had kids with diabetes. I know definitely the twins did, but I'm not sure that the others did.
More came along.
Well, the beautiful thing actually is it was during one of those years, I think it might have been year three, during one of those years another student started having signs and I guess I don't know whether it was because of the jelly bean day, whether they noticed it or what, but, somebody else was diagnosed that week.
Yes.
Yeah, and Em and her became really good friends, and they're still friends.
Oh, that's lovely. They're still
friends, even though, you know, her friend was, 3 years above her?
Yes.
Or maybe four. They're still friends to this day.
Oh, that's lovely. How did that feel, having someone else that you were then sort of, did you feel like you had to support them?
I reached out. I did feel like I wanted to support because, unfortunately, the way a schoolyard can work, the gossip sort of took off first. I heard through the grapevine.
Right.
And it made this poor person too scared to come back to school.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, so I sort of also brought up privacy with the teachers at that point. To allow that person time to adjust and this is new.
Yeah, their family.
Yeah, and with an insulin pump, it's connected to you. It's stuck on your skin at one point with a cannula.
Yeah.
And the school dresses aren't really designed.
No, of course not.
Where do you put that?
Where do you put it? You need a belt, don't you, or a pockets. Pocket.
Yeah, so that's what was developed, was this Lycra belt that sort of folds over to hold it, but you've got to sort of hitch your skirt up to get it and pull it out. So there's a lot to just sort of get used to.
Yeah.
And how long does that stay in, that cannula? Do you have to keep changing it?
Yeah, so it's meant to be every 3 days it gets changed.
It's still quite a lot,
It's still quite a bit. And, Em doesn't quite do that, which is the source of review constantly in our consultation.
Yeah.
But, I guess when we started going through some counselling to help her with the phobia, I really started to understand the level of the anxiety that had been born in her. Because she mentioned that you do one line change and it's, unfortunately, it's not always successful.
Yes.
It might be the capillary and that is so deflating. But when she would do a line change, she'd automatically, every day, she'd be counting down to,
of course, next one. That's what I would think as well.
So it's, it's one of those moments. If I could only just take that for them.
You can't.
Definitely.
Not yet.
No.
And so has she gone to diabetes camps or support groups or how has she found her people?
Yeah, I found the Diabetes Victoria camps. We've had a couple until they all got interrupted and then we were sort of at the wrong age. Yeah. But the wonderful thing about them is, getting amongst people who get it and they can really trust, they can rely on, because you've got nurses and volunteers that all are older kids with diabetes. And it's at those camps that she made the next leap forward. Most of the time she was doing her finger poke herself. We used to call them Ticker and Scooper when she was little. Few little names for them.
Yeah.
She managed to do, I think it was, she managed to do her line herself.
Right.
And, that was through the camp. So, imagine, going home and being able to tell Mum I can do it myself.
Wow.
Such freedom. I kind of need that back because in lockdown the anxiety really ramped up with all the kids and adults.
Of course.
And we went backwards there. She went back into 23. So we're still working through that.
Yeah, of course.
Even today.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, the camps are fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous. And they, let me tell you, they don't have a diabetic diet on those kids.
Oh, really?
They let the kids let their hair down and, oh, you're going surfing. Here, have another soft drink to make sure your sugar stay up. Yeah.
Oh, that must.
I mean, that's teenage years, yeah, isn't it, right? Yeah, that's right.
How do teenagers then do any risk-taking when they're saving their life all day long, every day?
Because alcohol is a bit diabolical, isn't it, because it's got lots of sugar in it.
Well, did you know that actually the body prioritizes in the liver to get rid of the alcohol? So a lot of people find that when they drink alcohol, their blood sugar drops dramatically.
Right.
So one of the wonderful things, the chap from Better Homes and Gardens, you know the chippy with the curls?
Yes.
I think his name was Rob.
I think it was Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he had diabetes, and so we'd just been diagnosed, and we went to an information session, and he was talking, and he was fabulous. He was so positive. Many funny stories about, you know, being an apprentice, and he was having a hypo in a news agency. Some of the severe hypos, you get locked in. So you're standing there, you're breathing, but you can't move your arms, you can't talk. That's a little more scary. So he was having one of these in the news agency, and he was looking at the Mars bar, but he couldn't say, I need to eat sugar. But the way he told it was quite comical.
And he was down
and he's getting loaded into an ambulance.
Oh, gosh.
But in this information session, they were bringing up alcohol and drugs.
Right.
And here I am with a four-year-old.
Yeah, thinking.
And
no,
I'm
no,
like,
no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm just trying to, like, accept this information. I'm not ready.
I can't think of being 16. Yeah.
No.
And they're like, you know, you need to do it at home. We need to know how it's going to affect them individually.
Right.
You need to be giving them alcohol so you can monitor it at home. And I'm sitting there going, what?
What?
Yeah. That's too much
for
a four-year-old.
Off I go to get the vodka cruises.
Yeah.
Exactly. So since we have made a friend who was also at the school, a mum with type 1, and her mum has type 1, and unfortunately now her daughter has type 1, so it was multi-generational.
Yeah.
And her son was in the year level underneath them. So I've got a lot more information to sort of prepare me ahead of time like that, the liver prioritises getting rid of the alcohol, the toxin, over the sugar.
Okay.
It's really important that they have a drink, they eat something, they have a drink.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not as free, is it, as going to a music festival and, like it just impacts, as you're saying, every single part of their life.
Nothing's free.
I know the sound engineer, he had a very good friend who had diabetes, and they would have their nights where they would all sit around a fire pit, play guitars, and then they'd play computer games. That was their jam. But they would take it in turns for not getting as drunk so that he could get drunk. And so
then they would
finger prick him. And
they
were so on it. And so he was like, he could let it go.
Oh.
And they would sort of
take over. That's really beautiful.
Yeah. It was amazing because I was always like, because they were quite young, like 19 or 20. And I'm like, I don't want this person to be. But they were like, no, we got this.
Oh.
And they really did. They really did have it.
The value of a good circle of friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
How did you go with, like, school camps and stuff? Were you able to let her go? Did you go on them?
School camps. No, I had the one thing that's really hard is that you've got to try and I've got to give her the carbs, the grams of carbs for every meal.
Yes.
So trying to get a menu.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, the grade 6 one up in Echuca, I had to go.
Probably wasn't their finest.
No.
This one was the horse stud, so it was all right.
Okay.
And
wasn't the motel.
It was I stayed at a caravan park near there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad I did because I don't know what something happened. Oh, they'd already run out of jelly beans or something. I don't know how, but they did. And so I was driving up more jelly beans, more supplies to them.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad I did because the menu that they told me they were going to be feeding her, I got there and they did. And this happens all the time. They assume type 2 diabetes is the famous one.
I think
so they're giving you this diabetic diet of like broccoli that has no colour, potatoes. She won't eat that anyway.
Of course.
And instead of the chicken schnitzel, like everyone else, they gave her this grilled thigh that looked tasteless. They basically gave her zero carbs. And I'm having to go up the chef and I'm like, she needs something with carbs in it or she won't get through the night.
Yeah.
Like,
I know.
So no wonder I went through so many jelly beans.
Of course.
Like,
Well, I think we hear type 2. We hear that it's diet related. We don't realise the two are very different.
Yeah, completely different.
Very, very different. And you know what? That's sort of what comes through at school. I'm kind of shocked. They all have that moment of, you know, kids being kids and they can be really cruel.
Yes.
I didn't. She's always kept it from me. But, yeah, one day she broke down and, you know, the kids saying, you did it to yourself.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Because that's the message around type 2.
It's just awareness isn't out there.
Yep.
Oh.
That's right.
And also, like, it's still not in first aid courses. You have to do the advanced course or there's one question on the test about it.
Yeah.
I bring it up every time I have to do first aid.
Oh, well, fair enough. Yeah, it's like you do an anaphylaxis separate as well, don't you?
Yeah.
And so how is she now?
Now, so Mandy saw in January we overcame a massive hurdle. It's taken me 7 years, I believe, to get her to do a blood test to check complications and whatnot, and a lot of hypnotherapy and regular therapy to get her to the point where she could accept and do her thing and get through that. And I tell you, that massive obstacle has been such a growth point for her. I can't tell you. And then the stories also that comes out, I'm going to go on, of how she was holding herself back from doing things because if she fell and got hurt and got sent to a hospital, that would mean an needle. So just don't do it.
Oh, you know, sweetheart.
She's going to be an excellent project planner.
Yes.
Wow. But you could see it had lightened her up.
Yes.
She's focused, she's doing year 12, she's organising herself. I don't have to remind her, when's that due and are you doing that? And,
oh, good girl.
Yeah, so the wings are starting to spread, I'm happy to say.
Yeah.
Hopefully she can live life and be a bit freer.
Yeah. Oh,
gosh.
Oh, So
you just want to scream to the world, do you see her? What an amazing young woman she is. And every day she's conquering these difficult things.
Mm.
And people just going, oh, how's she going?
Yeah.
You know, but.
I know. My parents ring. Oh, have you got it sorted?
No, sorted.
Doesn't sort.
No. That's the generation of have you got it sorted?
Tell us about your work as well.
Tell us how you transitioned into that.
Yes, how you got into it and what does that mean for you and your family?
Yep.
Yeah, so again, it's another hospital story. I took a moment of a break. I had my mother-in-law come in with my son and my husband was there, so it must have been a weekend. So I took the moment to get out of the hospital room and I was taking my son for a walk in the pram, trying to get him to have that daytime sleep. And he finally fell asleep and I don't know how it was for you guys in the hospital when you had your hospital stays and whatnot, but I couldn't think past the next hour.
No, definitely not.
It's just in the next, you know, how are we going to do the next injection? Yep. And finger poke wasn't as bad because we had made it a bit more fun, I think, but you can't get around an injection. So I remember just sitting down. He was in the pram. There was that lovely bushland behind the hospital, and I just sat and put my back on a gum tree. And I sat there and I just went straight into a bit of a practice, which is wonderful for overwhelm, which is just the next breath, the next breath. And I'm like, because like I said, I couldn't think past the next hour.
Yeah.
And it was, I had this spiritual moment where my meditation master, because I'm Buddhist, so I had Buddhist teachings, it just felt like he was in front of me and his voice was like, just breathe.
Mm.
Just breathe.
Mm.
And that's all I had to focus on. So meditation's been a really key point in my life to hold me when I didn't feel like anything else could and I had no control. Mm. It's turned around my own health, and so I've introduced Mia to it, and with some success and some not success.
Yeah.
So I would do, during lockdown, I would do online meditation classes and she'd come up and lie on the couch and often fall asleep. But it's that, you know, how important it is to get that nervous system back to the parasympathetic, which is, you know, you're resting, the state you should be in most of the time, but most of us are in fight flight with all the stress and work busyness and all the time. So the first thing I've taught her is belly breathing. So putting your hand on your belly, because most of us don't even realize, if you take a moment now and just notice where you're breathing from.
Yeah, it's all from the chest. Yep.
Or some people are shoulder breathers.
Yeah.
Some people are chest breathers. But if you simply put your hand on your belly, over your belly button, and imagine that you've got a balloon in your belly. So when you breathe in, that balloon inflates. So the weight of your hand activates that muscle too. So you fill your belly with air. And then as you breathe out, everything softens and relaxes. It's much easier lying down, but just teaching her that to try and help calm the anxiety. And we've also observed, and the more calm M is before a line change, the less pain. If she's really worked up about it and then does it, she like literally screams out, like the pain is so much more heightened. So things like that have really helped. I think too, being, having access to alternative things like Japanese acupuncture. So you might say that's needles, but Japanese needle, it's like a feather. It doesn't get inserted. It's so much lighter. And they don't use that on kids. They use a little gold rod. That's been wonderful. And so she could feel in herself how much better.
She felt more balanced. And taking some power back, right?
Exactly.
I'm choosing to do this. This makes me feel like this. I am in control of my body. That when you feel, I assume, quite powerless.
Yeah, absolutely. All your friends are off and at a party and mum's going, okay, I think that's enough chocolate right now.
Yes.
Got another pizza cake.
Yes. My gosh. Yeah.
And, again, the insulin pumps really help with that, because you can enter what you're eating rather than having to stick to same amount of carbs each meal, same time to eat. Whereas insulin pump, it's like, okay, I'm going to have this, enter the carbs, and it delivers.
It was really extraordinary.
Yeah, revolutionary.
Technology.
Yeah, yeah. And again, the continuous glucose monitor.
Yes.
It's sort of like seeing who's in the club. And they call it the club you don't want to be in.
Yes, of course.
Because you often see people with something on their arm.
Yes, yes, yes. I saw someone in the IGA on the back of his arm the other day.
So, and again, that's another thing that, you know, as your mind races forward, you tend to worry about, you know, if they're in an accident or something, or if they have a spontaneous severe hypo where they can't tell someone what's wrong. There's nothing you can see that would say this person might need sugar. They're a type 1 diabetic. You got the bracelets, but me doesn't
want to wear it.
To go well.
Yeah, fair.
I go black.
Yeah.
17-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And where do you put your pump in when you're going out for a nice
dress?
Where
do you?
Yes.
These you are want the to wear things, a crop top
things you have or, to think about. Yeah.
Blinky, silky dress to the formal.
Yeah.
All right, now where does the pump go?
Right, of course. All of those things. So, so you have your own business now, is that right? Or you've had it for a long time? Yep, tell us about your business.
Got sidetracked.
No, I just want to promote it. I want people to know and find you because, you know, we need people like you.
Yeah, so I do shiatsu, which is a Japanese acupressure kind of massage, but you get to keep your clothes on. So a lot of people like that.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, I found alternative therapies like acupressure, meditation, yoga, they've all helped me so much. So I wanted to then help others and introduce it to others, saying there is a gentle way that you can work with your body and listen to your body. So I have my studio out the back of my place, and also offer day retreats in Mount Evelyn for people who want to come try yoga and meditation. It's not all sitting there quiet for a whole day. We move and we find a way that you feel comfortable to then eventually sort of just be able to sit.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, wow. And they're great. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
We need to come.
I just love when things happen in life and we pivot and we become a different person and it becomes all of who we are, not in a bad way, in a good way.
Yeah, yeah.
I really, really love that. I think that they're the people that I'm drawn to. That like this thing happened and then I did this from it. I didn't just go home and stay the same.
Or go back to the corporate world and realize that was going to be.
It wasn't for you.
Yeah.
I was so grateful when Mia was in hospital. I was so grateful I didn't have that pressure. Because, I mean, we've got to, us women, we have enough guilt in our lives. We don't need to feel guilty for not being at work or having to take more time off or whatnot.
That we can have
the time, you know, to really support. So, I'm grateful that I've had the opportunity, as difficult as it is, to then go, okay, now's the time I'm going to create my own business.
Yeah.
Rather than go back and go into the rat race. So I can help others who need to relax.
Do you want to say the name of your business?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Vitality.
Vitality.
So, yeah. So it's, with a Q-I instead of C-H-I.
Yeah. Gorgeous. We will have everything in the show notes. People can find you.
Yes.
You're in the outer eastern suburbs of Melbourne.
Yep.
So
where all the cool people live.
Yeah. Course. Is there anything we've missed in asking you that you want to tell the peas?
I think maybe as a whole, I'd love people to be less judgmental of others. If somebody's, you know, there's disabilities out there that you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's being aggressive or if somebody is acting odd, maybe they need sugar.
You don't know.
It doesn't mean they're a jerk. It doesn't mean they're rude. There might be something going on. So if we could all just maybe come from our hearts and go, is there a way? Is there something you need? Is there a way I can help?
Yeah.
Without putting yourself in harm's way, obviously, but just have that open mind rather than ready to pile in and judge.
I would never stop to think that. So now I will.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Very, very, very
thank you
true.
Guys.
Oh, so lovely to talk to you.
Yes. And thank you for sharing your story. There'll be people listening like.
Yes.
Every episode there's something that someone takes from it. So I'm thankful to you for sharing because I know people will really get a lot out of listening to you today and hearing your wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for being a lovely friend to me and listening to all my stories for many years and then listening to the podcast.
Likewise. And you've both been inspirations. And look how your kids are flourishing. It's exciting.
Yeah, it is actually exciting to get to that point. And
it doesn't have to hold you back.
No.
We just find a way through. We're so, just keep persisting.
Yeah,
They're full of courage.
Yeah, the bear hunt. Can't go over it. Can't go under it.
Got to go through it. Yeah, we sure are.
Oh, I love that. Yes.
Well, thank you, Belinda. It was lovely having you on.
Oh, thank you, Bo.
Thank you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.